Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Everyone, thanks for listening to the Western Hunting Hub podcast. I have a little extra enthusiasm in my voice right now because I found someone to help. I found my podcast producer. So we're going to welcome Mark in another episode here because this is a little preliminary on that. But we've known each other. He's a longtime podcast listener, hunted together, and he's a perfect fit. So excited to bring him on, and he is already hitting the ground running with it. So he has made some great contacts with some great podcast hosts. So this is a little bit of advertisement for what's to come. There's some great episodes that someone's going to hold me to the fire on and keep this podcast going. And that's what I needed. Needed someone to throw some wood on the fire and keep it going. And it's hard thing to do on your own when no one's holding you accountable. So not that I don't enjoy doing it, it's just another thing, and it's difficult to keep up with. So I'm very appreciative of Mark. We'll get him on, do a introduction here in the next couple episodes. I already had these recorded, and this is just a re-recording of my intro so that I can it can make sense. I don't want to advertise for a position that I don't need filled. So we'll continue on with this episode, and we'll welcome Mark another day. All right, starting in March, the weather gets much nicer wherever I've lived. The archery shoots start to get scheduled. Yep. Or your sign up for TAC, all of those sorts of things really start to drive my motivations to making sure my bow is dialed, shooting straight, and get after it again. I do take a break from shooting my bow, even though it's probably not the best. It's hard to get it done, even though I work at a place with an archery range. As pathetic as that is, it would take nothing to get up and go do some shooting on my lunch breaks and do that sort of thing. I've tried that discipline. I'm a bit of a workaholic that I don't even like to eat lunch. I like to sit there with my lunch and just keep clicking through emails, doing whatever I can one-handed while I'm scarfing food down. So it's hard to get away and do some shooting, even though I have that. So it's super pathetic while other people are driving to our range to shoot it. So I will, I'll be working on that. I have a long day at work today, so I loaded my bow. It's going to work. And that's the other excuse. That's all it is an stupid excuse, is that I hate taking my bow to and from work. You can't leave it in your vehicle because it gets too hot, and then you're hauling it in and out. That's kind of another one of those little weird barriers. But this episode, I really wanted to focus on some arrows because I had a expensive stop to the bow shop. but also kind of a cool revelation of something that's really going to help. Ever since 2019, 2020, right in there, I kind of started getting addicted to messing around with my arrow setup some more. My bow is what it is. You buy a bow and you're kind of married to it for a while just because they're so darn expensive. But the arrows, they're expensive too, but you can adjust so much and they can determine a lot of your accuracy. Your bow can be adjusted to be accurate. You're by adding some shims and tuning it and doing some different things, making sure it's set and you're good. But the arrows, they have to match. They have to, you just have so many different performance variables, or things that determine performance based on those variables. So I found a couple of cool things that I'm really excited about, and I'll share what I learned. So a couple of really good learning moments for me. So keep listening for those. A quick check at Black Hills Archery revealed that my center shot was off too much when I was tuning broadheads last. And I think it happened when I was tuning broadheads last year. So I was adjusting, but I adjusted it way too much. So that's going to be a thing in about a month when I start messing with broadheads. But I really, really want to make sure that I'm just dialed for my field points. I can just go have a good time at our shoots, and I don't have to worry about anything. Yes, they should be shooting about the same, but they don't, and maybe they will if I get a couple of shims put in to make my tuning happen just a little more accurately. But I'll deal with that once it comes. I want to just continue on with my field points. So first off, let's go through some arrows. I don't think you can go wrong with really any one quality arrow. The Eastons, the Victories, the Deep Sixes, Full Metal Jackets. I don't think you can go wrong. Great arrows all around. Arrows are. We're spend a little money on some decent ones. You can't go wrong. One thing that I was convinced on, not just from a bow shop owner, but it's perfect common sense. So I've been shooting these Easton long range axis arrows. Easton axis have been super popular lately. Quality arrow. I didn't know that they had a 0.001 straightness, the match grade Easton axis. I have a 32 inch draw length, and for someone with a long draw length, straightness in an arrow is very important. If you have a 26 inch draw length, you could get away with a lot less of your straightness because you may cut off a decent amount of each one of those arrows. And I had a saw a great video 6 months ago or so to if you do have the opportunity, you can cut off a lot of your arrows. I would get an arrow spinner on those little things to put it on and spin it. See where you're lacking in straightness. Ignore the wrap, the stand, the original wrap on your arrow that says Easton or Victory or whatever. There is no back and front of an arrow. Wherever you glue your inserts on, that's your front of the arrow. You can swap those back and forth. So that means cut off. Like if one side is a little bit more less straight, cut that off. And you can cut little bits on each side. That's going to make a huge difference. So with that little spinner, you're going to be able to cut off the stuff that's not the best, and then square that up. Put it in an arrow square and square those ends. That's going to make a little bit of a difference. With us long guys who we can't cut off anything, or on these Easton axis, I do get to cut off about an inch. Then I'm kind of out of luck on that. But because of that, I need that straightness. So 0.001 straightness, these match grade arrows, that's what I went with. Didn't know that was a thing for some reason. I thought I had just good, decent arrows. So straighter arrows. Here we go. That's going to be because I got a long draw length. Second thing I learned, which I'm really excited about, is that I have been married to my arrows, like married to the insert, the setup, everything I had, because I've been gluing in the inserts. Target archers, if that's any of you, you're gonna laugh at me, but you guys have been doing this for a long, long time. But they're just using a cold melt. It's basically a hot glue, but a cold melt setup where you are not married to what you're set. It is the way to go. Cold melt is the way to go. That's just a little blue stick from boning, a little hot glue, and gluing those in was way easier, less of a mess. Not worried about the timeliness of making sure I get that shoved in there. And if I don't get it shoved in there enough, then it's going to glue and set, and you're done. I have an arrow on my shelf right now. I didn't get that thing pushed in enough, and it's set. That arrow shot. That was an expensive mistake. So my half outs that I have, were always glued in, and that was not going to work for this setup because I was hoping to go for a glue-in broadhead later on, but I, again, don't want to be married to my stuff. So having the cold melt, and I'll walk you through how to do this. If you've never done any of this, this is way easy. So you get your insert, heat up with a lighter, not a butane lighter, something that gets too hot. You can mess with the chemicals and how they bond and whatever else. So you just want your regular old lighter, a stick lighter, so it's easier to handle. Heat the end of that up. Take your insert and grab a whole bunch of that glue and then set it down. Okay. Then grab your next insert, heat that end up, get a good glob of that stuff on the insert, and then set it down. You can prep everything. Get it all on there. Grab each one of your inserts again once you get them all have a glop of glue on it. Heat that back up, shove it in, and there's going to be a ring around the insert and the arrow, and that's going to squeegee out. Hold it on tight, let that make sure it's not going anywhere, shove it against the desk, then grab the next one, do it again, and you're going to have 12 arrows that have that little blue ring all the way around it. Go and take your arrows and run them under some cold water, and that's going to allow that glue to set. After that glue is set, you can take your finger and pick it towards the long side of the arrow, as in like the length of the arrow. Don't shove that little blue tip to the tip. I don't know why. That's just what the guys told me at the bow shop. So pick that off and you're done. If you ever want to switch arrows or you want to switch inserts because you want to add 25 grains, then you just heat that up and yank it out. Or better yet, you just stick it in some hot water and you can yank it out. We'll see how well they stick, but I trust my bow shop. They work on David Blanton's bow. They work, I hear they have worked with Lee and Tiffany. I'm trusting my guys. They know what they're doing. So I am sold on that cold melt. It's the way to go for adjustments. And then fletchings, those can be melted off of there too, in a way, or chemically melted off. But those can be taken off, and you're back to bare shaft again, and you can mess around. I walked in my bow shop and spent $260 on another dozen arrows, field points, extra inserts, all that. And I got home and realized I have another dozen arrows plus some older ones. I'm sitting on three dozen arrows or so, way more than I need. But the old ones I can't adjust or do anything with because stuff is glued in. I know now my new match grade arrows, I'm going to be able to adjust and do some things, and I shouldn't have to buy arrows for a while. I should be able to make these last now with that new thing that I've learned. So if there's anything you take from this, cold melt, the way to go. I am sticking with my broadheads of the Helix. I'd love to go with the Iron Wills. I'm dead set on fixed blades, single bevel, two blade with bleeders. That's what I want right now. Just all the research I've done said that puts giant holes in. It's reliable, it's sharp, and it stays sharp. I have no problem. I'm not a fixed blade snob. I'm not a mechanical snob. I've shot deer with both, and I have no problem shooting mechanical. My only reason I'm sticking with the fixed blade right now is because I'm a one setup guy, and I do not want to shoot a elk with a mechanical. People do it, and I could be convinced of it, but I've made that decision. I'm not going to do it. So I want to shoot a fixed blade at an elk. And I really like that two blade. Really, really like it. So that's going to be my setup, and I'm going to build everything around that. I would do the same thing if I was you, building using the correct fletchings to steer that, and the correct weight forward in the arrow to allow that arrow to straighten out a little bit better. But here's what I got. So Helix fixed blade, the FJ4s, and the reason why I'm going over those with besides Iron Wills is because Iron Wills would be another $250 for six of them. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. The Helix, way more affordable, not quite as durable, but close. The bleeders, not quite as durable, but close. They're gonna work. Sharpness and otherwise durability are outstanding. The cutting diameter is outstanding. I'm excited to use those. I've killed two animals with them last year and very pleased with their performance. One thing I am doing this year is ditching the wraps. If that means that gives me another couple of grains to, if it gives me another percentage of FOC, then I'm ditching them just to bring some more of that weight forward. I can get those fletchings off easy enough. You just kind of rip them off. And what I have is I have a narrow necked bottle of acetone, and I just pull the knockoff and I set them down in there after I've ripped off stuff. And that just dissolves the glue, leaves the arrow intact. It's going to be fine on that, but it dissolves the plastic and the glue. And I can slowly just take a paper towel, wipe it down. I can do a bunch of arrows at once. It just wrinkles all that stuff. So I can take off fletchings fairly easy without having to worry about leaving residue on there and the next thing stick. That's why I was going with the wraps, making that easier. But honestly, I don't think it makes it any easier. I think it'll be easier without. So bring a little weight forward, ditch the wraps. And I don't care what they look like. Finding an arrow is difficult enough. If you want to try and find an arrow, put a Aluminoc on, if that's the reason for having a wrap. As far as the fletchings, I was using and kind of talking up Silent Knights. They're not the ticket. I'm not using them. I have one that I buried into a bale, and it came back mostly, but it still is a little wrinkled up. So durability, it's there, but not like crazy, crazy durable. They are a pain in the butt to fletch. They take too much time. The foot on them is way too narrow. They do have their own fletching jig now, so maybe if that's the case, go for it. But also because they are so small footed on 4mm arrows, they're difficult to get any kind of rotation in them. I just fletched up six arrows with some regular AAE Max. That was way easier than those Silent Knights. So I also don't think they're any quieter. They say they're quieter. I don't believe it. I've tested that out, and it's just not worth it. So sorry about advertising all that. So if any of you got them, I know my dad did. Sorry. They're still fine. They're great. And he has 5mm arrows, so he's doing good shooting those. They're easier to easier to fletch for him. But I've made a lot of mistakes where they wouldn't stick well. And these other ones are bigger footed ones are much easier to fletch. What interests me in Aeroflight is getting some good steering, and that came back to the bow shop. So whatever arrow or broadhead I'm shooting or you're shooting, steering should be on the forefront of your mind. And with that, I'm sold on four fletch. I'm sold on it. Whether you got mechanicals, you can just put smaller fletchings on. John Stallone just did a little, maybe that was a while ago, but he did a little test with some arrows, and four fletch didn't make that much of a difference as far as the kinetic energy and some of the other data points he pulled. So there's plenty of opportunity that four fletch is going to leave there. It's not taken away much at all. So four fletch is a ticket. Sold on that also because it doesn't matter which way you put that arrow on versus your three fletch trying to put your odd color fletching in. And then with your four fletch, you just buy all the same colors. You don't have to buy the enough to rotate. You got two colors on one side, one color or the other, for your cock vane. You just have all the same color and it looks good. It's easier, honestly. So I'm good with just sticking with the four fletch. The one thing I will say is that because steering is important, the size of that vane is pretty important based on what broadhead you're shooting. My mechanicals have been able to handle the AAE hybrid 2.25-inch vanes, but that's not a lot of steering for bigger broadheads. Maybe if you had some smaller little replaceable blade broadheads, that would be fine. But I am now shooting the 2.75 AAE Max. I'm hoping those are enough steering. I think the Blazers would be just fine. But for four fletch with that bigger 2.75 AE Max or the Blazer, I don't even know if that'd be enough for the Blazers. But that four fletch is going to need to steer those big fixed blades. The reason why I was sold on Iron Wheels, if I could afford that, is just because of all of the research that they did. It's got a lot of hype and popularity. So that's one deterrent for me, but they did a lot of research. They have three blade, but they're higher profile. I think an opportunity would be looking at the AAE Pro Hunters. They're very similar to what Iron Wheels have. It's a higher profile vane, and would be similar to that. So if you're looking at shooting a big broadhead, maybe those Pro Hunters in a three fletch. I don't know why you wouldn't try just four fletch, but maybe that's too much drag. That would be a very similar thing for your Iron Wheels. If you didn't want to go buy the pre-fletched arrows from Iron Wheel and their broadheads and basically have the price of a bow out of your arrow setup. All right, so that's my setup. I have a AAE Max 2.75 fletching on a Easton Axis long range arrow with 50 grain half outs and 100 grain field point. Puts me at roughly, I can't remember exactly, but I was at like 15% FOC. And going with the glue ends, I really like that. Shooting those Helix FJ4s for my broadheads. So next steps for me is to shoot this new setup and just to see how those things fly. Get my bow, make sure it is dialed to the T for Total Archery Challenge. And after that, next month is probably going to be next month, April, May. Ooh, May's a little early. June's a little early for me. July is my broadhead month. I'm going to mess around more with air broadheads in July. And I'll wait till then to do that and see if my bow needs some shims. But no, that's a real thing that your bow to tune properly might need a little bit more bow mechanicking than you would think. So no, that's not a word I'm going to use it. But anyway, that's an arrow setup. I get addicted to fine tuning this, even though I don't always have the knowledge to do it. Like chatting with our bow shop to figure that out and to work on that. So there's my setup. Hopefully you can use some of those things with the highly suggest using the cold melt and switching to a four fletch. I think that's a great opportunity. All right, thanks for listening. Got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.